We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, yeah, it's hot. I mean, it's hot. It's kind of sweltering out there. We may hit some records today. I know it's September the 12th, and we're technically still in summertime, but... You know, at this point, you just want some kind of a breath of fresh air, and we don't seem to be getting that anytime too soon. Hey, I've got a pair of tickets to give away to the LSU Northwestern State game in Baton Rouge coming up sometime between now and 4 o'clock. Just listen for me to say it's time to call in. And if you are the eighth caller to our contest line at 260-WINS, that's 260-9467, you win the tickets from Tiger Radio, WWL. NOPD is talking today about being proactive in curbing teenage crime. And I don't know if anything can be done about it, but at least they're trying. It's complicated. And it seems to me that one of the things that is missing in our society is a full, comprehensive study that would result from interviews of people who go to prison at an early age. Maybe they start a juvie center. But there must be a common denominator among those people that could be addressed. And it seems like, I don't know, maybe there's studies out there that I don't know about. But it seems that we should know more about just the common denominators. I mean, I think you and I know. But if there was research done on this and we knew for sure, then maybe that could be addressed. But I don't know that we want to know. I mean, I want to know. You want to know. But as a country, I don't know that we want to know the answer to that. Because I think it's going to fall back on adults. And it's not going to allow people to have the political power that they have now to talk about certain things that benefit them politically. But it seems to me that that's something that's missing. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. I want to add to the conversation this hour the idea of giving an ex-con, a convicted felon, a second chance. This is not a liberal point of view. This is reality. Some people make mistakes. Some people make mistakes and they do bad, bad things. But some people really do regret what they did, and some people come out of prison and they just want a second chance. But there's such a stigma to hiring a convicted felon. And it seems that would change. I'd love to talk to you. If you have been in prison, did you come out of prison with the attitude that you just wanted a second chance? And did you get that second chance? And if you own a business, would you be reluctant to give an ex-con a second chance? And if you work for a company that hired an ex-con, how would you treat that person in the workplace? Because, look, people make mistakes, and so you pay your debt to society and you get out. If we don't give that person a second chance, what is that person going to do? Quite possibly resort to the life that led them to prison in the first place. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Also, the Democrats are debating tonight on ABC. The debate will include 10 of the top candidates that did different things to qualify to get in there. And this is the first time that the top three will be on the same stage together. And here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Can the Democrats take the White House by just being the anti-Trump party? 87% say no, they need to do more. 13% say, yes, it's enough to be anti-Trump. You can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. From Ken or Greg, welcome to our show.
Hi, I actually wanted to talk about the opposite of what everyone's been talking about with changing the consequences. I actually think we need to incentivize good behavior. I was in psychology in college, and one of the things that stuck with me was them saying incentivizing good behavior actually sticks a longer way than punishing bad behavior. And that's something I took with me to my children. I'd rather incentivize their good behavior than punish their bad behavior.
Now, Greg, you're not talking about the concept of everybody gets a trophy.
No, not the concept of a trophy. Just maybe more opportunity because they've been good their whole life. I mean, so like someone like me, I've never had a, don't have a criminal record whatsoever. You know, maybe if they would help, like if I was in a poor community, help me get to a place where I could have the opportunity to get a better job and to get just started more in life because I have spent my life just so well behaved. I think that would give people a reason to not act out instead of them fearing the consequences of what if they did.
So it would be equivalent to getting a prize if you attended school every day, if you had perfect attendance.
You could talk about like the TOPS program, to where the TOPS program incentivizes you getting good grades by paying part of your college. I mean, yes, that should be the parents' responsibility to incentivize good behavior, but unfortunately, you can't rely on parents to do the right thing every time.
In a more common term, I mean, you know, incentivize positive behavior. That's nice. But really, we're talking about something as simple as a positive reinforcement. And there are parents, and this is a big mistake a lot of parents make. There are parents who really don't pay attention to their kids unless their kids do something wrong, and their kids will do something wrong, even though it's negative attention, just to get the attention of their parents, just to get their parents to look at them. They'll do something wrong just to get that attention.
Yeah, absolutely. You brought up the word that I totally forgot with positive reinforcement. That's what it is. Yes, you know, going to your kids' soccer games or baseball games or just whatever it is, getting good grades or whatever, giving them that kind of assurance that you're doing good. That's great. Keep doing that. I think we're missing out on a lot of that.
But I would stop short of rewarding everybody, because we do need to instill in people the desire to do better and to reach goals. And I don't think everybody should get a trophy, but there are things. I mean, I think you bring up a legitimate point, and this is part of parenting, is you know, if your kids do something good, then find a way to reward them or give them recognition for that, because the alternative is, if you only pay attention to them when they do bad, kids will act out just to get the attention of the parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with, like, you know, taking away video games nowadays, parents don't even do that anymore. You know, there's no, like when I was younger, when I was bad, I would get the video games taken away from me and they wouldn't give them back until I was better behaved. But I see, you know, people all the time, and my parents around me, you know, just they punish their kids for an hour and then it's done. So like that hour really didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Taking that away.
Well, interesting concept, Greg. I appreciate the call. If you've got a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Terrell, you're on WWL.
Yes. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was listening to everyone, and I kind of identify with that lady when she said, I'm a black male, and she was saying that, you know, I don't look at it as discrimination, but I think the youth in general are angry. They're angry because of the adults. The adults, they see the hypocrisy in politics. They see the hypocrisy in education. They see the hypocrisy in the parents and even in religion. And so then the children, they lose hope. They say, what is there to believe in when there is no truth in front of us to see? There's no demonstration of what they say or what we say we don't do. So therefore, they think, okay, we came from nothing, so we have no value. But when you have someone who actually stops and maybe listens and teach the children that they are valuable, and that stop exposing them to a bunch of stuff, a bunch of violence. I knew when I grew up, all I saw was violence on TV, violence, sex, all of these different things that as a child I wasn't ready for. And it kind of thrust me into a situation to where that all you see, all you do is what you see, what you're programmed to. and the parent, there's probably one parent in the house, not two, and now the children are being exposed to more and more stuff. I couldn't imagine being a child. I was talking to a guy on the boat today about being a child in this age, because they're growing up and seeing evil called good and good called evil. So it's almost like they don't know which way to go. And me as a child, I sought attention by being bad because I couldn't make the good grade. And so if I was bad, then I got attention. So it all boils down to, where is God in the equation? We didn't come from anything. We didn't just evolve from dust and dirt. We actually says we're made in the image of God. And then if we are made in the image of God, I used to pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God. Who is this God that we pledge an allegiance to the flag to? You know, you start looking at that and go, okay, well, now that's accountability. Accountability starts with
The
individual.
The concept of God holds people accountable, because they're accountable to this idea that there is this supreme being that judges you and sees everything you do. You can't hide it from him. It really, you know, that really is the basis of the concept of Santa Claus.
It's value. They get their value because they're made in the image of the Creator. Their Creator, so they have value. If you tell somebody you're not worth anything, then they're like, okay, well, if I don't have any value, then what am I worth? I'm just a product of chemical responses. So yeah. What's different between me and an animal? I'm telling you, man, if each person looks in the mirror and actually looks at themselves and say, okay, look, what am I a part of the problem or am I a part of the solution? I'll give you a good example. I saw all of this stuff about cops shooting black people, right? And so I started watching people getting angry at the cops. But I noticed there were cops parked outside of my drive, down the street at a church parking lot from my house. And I said, you know what I'm going to do, even though I had bad experiences with police, white police in general? I drove my car over to the police officer, and I said, hey, how you guys doing? And they looked at me, they're kind of frightened. And I said, hey, my name is Terrell. I live down the street. I appreciate the job that you guys are doing, doing surveillance. You know, back in the day, police used to interact with the community, yeah. And everybody knew each other's child, and they actually was concerned. But now, television is preaching fear of cops, fear of this person, fear of that person, and so nobody wants to open up and love each other. Look beyond, that's why I say turn that television off.
Terrell, watching too much television is the problem. I think the bigger problem is the passive activity of watching too much television. A lot of kids watch violent television, and they have parents and guidance that leads them in a different direction. But, Terrell, I appreciate your call. You know, you wonder if maybe there is today, there are unrealistic expectations. You know, I see this sometimes in younger generations. It's like they... And I'm not being critical as much as I'm making an observation. It's almost as if they expect things. They expect things to be good. You know, happiness doesn't come to you. Man, you got to go out and find it. You got to grab it. It doesn't just, you know, bestow itself upon you. You got to do things to make yourself happy. Well, I know that didn't come out right, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I wonder if expectations are unreal. You know, there's so much that we expect. Well, the American dream. What the hell is the American dream? And I remember growing up with the idea of the American dream. And I guess in a lot of ways, I've lived it. But I've also had the American dream. I've also awakened and had the American dream taken away from me through different circumstances. So you just, you dream again. But, you know, the idea of expecting things, and if you don't get what you expect, then you get angry. Well, maybe the expectations are unrealistic, and maybe we should all do a better job of realizing that, you know, you're guaranteed very little in life. And one of the things that you should be guaranteed is an opportunity. You're not guaranteed success. You're not guaranteed rising up the ranks of the company you work for. That's not a guarantee. What is a guarantee is applying yourself and working hard, having that opportunity. So would you hire an ex-con And I would love to talk to an ex-con. In fact, Jason is on hold right now. He says, I'm a felon, and I want to tell you about what it's been like for me. I want to hear this story, because there are people who make mistakes and go to prison, and they come out and they have the label of ex-con, convicted felon, and they're judged, and they really want just a second chance. They really want a chance to just start over and have another shot. Is our society willing to do that? I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming right back on WWL. Should convicted felons have a second chance? I mean, if we don't give them a second chance, what happens then? Hey, I don't know whether you noticed or not, but we've made a few changes right here on WWL. There's more talk and fewer interruptions. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on WWLAMFMN.com. San Francisco's Board of Supervisors has adopted a new person-first language, the new guidelines for referring to different things. The words convicted felon, offender, convict, addict, or juvenile delinquent are gone, no longer used by the city of San Francisco. What replaces convicted felon, offender, addict, convict, juvenile delinquent is this phrase: a justice-involved person. I know, right? So, also, somebody who was previously called a criminal will now be referred to as a returning resident or a formerly incarcerated person. Now, to me, this is political correctness gone crazy. No longer calling somebody a convicted felon or a convict. They're a justice-involved person. Don't know how much that's going to change things. Jason, welcome to our show. You are a felon, Jason?
Yes, I sure am, and I'm going to live that way the rest of my life, apparently. It goes a step farther than employment, and the workforce kind of laughed at whenever I tell the story, but I'm not a public guy or public official. Guess that's where it really comes down. Where my problem's at is I have two little ones that really, really love to hunt. Hmm. I can't take them, and I can't teach them the stuff that a father's supposed to teach their kids. I gotta depend on my brother-in-law, somebody else to do that. And that's something that reminds me every day of what happened, and it was something so minor. I'm 43 now. I was 19 when I got in trouble. I got caught with, I think, 4 calves of LSD. I was 19 years old, playing in the bars, just dumb as you could be.
And this was obviously a nonviolent crime you were arrested for?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So,
okay.
I got, they issued probation to me in the courts and this, that, and the other. Once again, I was 19. That lasted for about 3 months. Then I decided I didn't need to see no more. And that caught up with me. And then they ended up locking me up for 3 years. So that got my attention. But it also kept convicted felons on my criminal record permanently. So I'm 43 now, and I still am not able to get a hunting license. And anybody that has any material possessions, you protect as much as you can, but I'm not supposed to have a firearm in my house either.
Yeah.
Well, these days have changed to where they're at that, hell, I'm scared to tell somebody I don't have a gun.
Well, Jason, it seems like the one rule fits all is not right in the case of somebody like yourself. And this is why I wanted to at least bring this up for discussion today, because there are a lot of people like you who are convicted felons, but it was a nonviolent crime, and you made a mistake. Having LSD on you was not the right thing to have on you, but it's not the worst thing you can do. But as a convicted felon, you've had a hard time getting a job.
Not so much the job, but it's embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, you meet up with people and you're trying to be professional and make a good first impression, but yet you got to mark the box on the application and then explain. And like I said, most of them laugh about it, you know, because it's not a violent fit. I didn't hurt anybody. You know, it's something I guess laughable now, unless I'm trying to get a shotgun.
Would you rather be referred to as a justice-involved person rather than a convicted felon?
I'd rather not be referred to it because I don't feel I am, but I know I know what I did falls under that category. But when you hear convicted felon, it's in the same mind.
Right.
I don't know. I got the same mind frame as I'm a bad person.
Well, Jason, this just goes to show you the injustice of government rules, which again, sometimes it's one size fits all. And you know, to be arrested when you're 19 for LSD, it doesn't seem like it makes sense for you not to be able to own a gun today at the age of 43 if you haven't done anything else wrong.
That's how I feel too. Now I could get it expunged off my record. I have talked to people about that, but there would go with $15,000 just to talk about it. It's all money, you know. And
yeah.
I got four at home, and I drive a truck. We don't have $15,000 to get this taken care of. It's embarrassing. That's for sure.
All right. Well, Jason, you know, take care of yourself and just keep doing what you're doing, which is we all do the best we can, and sometimes we have some strikes against us, and the only thing that you can do is the best you can, and it sounds like you're doing that. So take care of yourself and take care of your kids. Kim, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm glad I'm inside.
Me too. It's hot out there, huh?
Yeah, it is.
I just tuned in. I actually am the vice president of Goodwill Industries here in New Orleans,
and I'm
the
chairperson
of the New Orleans Reentry Task Force.
Okay.
And just left the Right on Crime educating the, giving second chances to the formerly incarcerated conference this morning. We actually was a panelist on employing people who have left the correctional facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a constant problem that we're having in the city. And we talked about this today that, you know, we're able to find, some of our clients because we serve the formerly incarcerated individuals through funds that we either raise through grant funds or philanthropic funding. And it is very difficult, you know, I think at this point in time, trying to get a formerly incarcerated individual a job is very difficult because the mindset of the employers in our city is not at the level in which it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to put people into jobs, but they're not getting a living wage. So, you know, think about it. You just was released from prison. We put you into a job that's only paying you $8, $9, $10 an hour. Well, everybody said that you have to have at least $15 an hour to pay rent in the city of New Orleans. So what we were talking about today is how, as a collective group, a collaborative group, what are we going to do to change the mindsets of the people in New Orleans, the actual employers of New Orleans, to hire these individuals, to give them that second chance? Now, Goodwill is a felon-friendly organization, and we do hire ex-offenders, but we only have a limited amount of jobs. You know, people want to know what's in it for me if I hire an ex-offender. First of all, an ex-offender has an account. You know, they're very accountable because they're seen at parole offices every week, and they have to be drug tested. So that's one thing you're not going to worry about because they're answering to someone.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you that, Kim. What is the track record of people that do reenter the workforce after having been released?
I'm going to speak on behalf of Goodwill because we've been operating our reentry program since 2012, and we started our first program with a federal grant. And we have been so successful, Scoot, that we have been funded every year. And with that track record, that means if I write into a grant that I'm going to serve 342 people over a two-year period or three-year period, and I'm responsible for placing them on jobs at a rate of 70%, 70% of them have to go on a job or 65% has to obtain a credential, to be refunded again, that means that I met that benchmark. So we have served over 2,900 people in the year of 2018. We've placed over 70% of these people in jobs. We have trained them at our technical college to get industry-based certifications to go out into the workforce. But we need more people. We need more businesses like Goodwill that's willing to take that chance on the returning citizen. And we don't have enough of that in the city of New Orleans that's willing to take that chance, because their stigma in their mind is that these people are going to come to us with issues. I don't have time to deal with the drama. They have that in the back of their minds, and then some of them look at it as it's a safety issue. We got to knock down those barriers and realize that when a returning citizen goes through a social program, they're probably more likely to be successful than a regular person off the street, because they're being watched constantly. The accountability is higher. They're clean because they have to see their parole officers. They have gotten up-to-date job readiness skills and soft skills, and they're ready to work. They just need that second chance.
Well, I hope you're more successful at that as time goes on, because I just don't see, you know, how we can expect as a society, how we can expect people to change their lives if we don't give them an opportunity to change their life once they're out. And this is right. Based on the idea that, look, that sometimes good people make mistakes and they want to change.
Yes, and it's going to be a constant challenge. And at the conference today, I challenged everybody in that room, you know, to at least think about hiring an ex-offender and knocking down the stigma of that scarlet letter, oh, that person has a jacket, a record, and I'm not going to hire them. It's going to take all of us, and people don't realize until they are the victim of a crime how serious it is that we put money and ready dollars in these people's hands when they walk out of the correctional facility.
Well, Kim, I would like to offer this show as a way for you to and your group to continue to promote this idea. So please feel free to send me an email. My email address is scoot@wwl.com. It's that simple. And if you have something that you want to promote or talk about, just let me know and we can use this show to do that.
We will do. Thank you so much for even having and listening to me today, Scoot. I appreciate it.
Kim, I appreciate the call. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. All right, you want to win some tickets to go see LSU, Northwestern State, Tiger Stadium this Saturday? Plus, you will be part of the ultimate tailgate experience, compliments of LSU sports properties. If you were the eighth caller to our contest line, 260-WINS. Area code 504-260-9467. Eighth caller is a winner from Tiger Radio, WWL. Hey, how would you feel if your company hired a convicted felon? Come on, if we don't hire them, what are they going to do? They're going to commit crimes again. Congratulations to Brandon Blackmore. Brandon just won a pair of tickets to go see LSU Northwestern State in Baton Rouge in Tiger Stadium. And we're going to give tickets away every Thursday before home games between 1 and 4 here. Go Tigers from Tiger Radio, WWL. From the West Bank, Kerry, welcome to our show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Kerry.
Good. I called in because I was released from prison 47 years ago. And the thing with me and the prison institution, the system, is not designed to help. I don't know, it's designed just to house. When you're in prison, you are awarded to the state, mm-hmm. which means that they own you. They can make you go to work, but they can't make you go to a trade. They can't make you go to school. I went to school because I wanted to go to school, not because they made me go to school. I came out and I became a nurse, and the rest is history, which is fine. But all of these things that I'd done, the state could make the prisoners do it. Because most of them, that the average educational level of a prison inmate is third grade. Who gonna have a third grade educational level and go in prison and say, I want to have a better life?
So, Kerry, you're a perfect example of what we're talking about. It sounds like you took advantage of your time in prison to better yourself, and it allowed you to come out and be a responsible citizen.
Exactly. While I was in prison, I got my GED. I was certified in welding. I was certified in butchering. President Reagan was the president at the time. He came on national TV and said, we need more male nurses. I made up my mind that day that
wow.
I was.
Good for you. You know, some people get to prison because they're butchers, and here you became a certified butcher while you were in prison.
I did everything to better myself, but when I went to prison, I stopped going to school when I was 11th grade, so I wasn't a dummy. When I stopped going to school, I really wanted to add better. For myself, I just wanted quick money and I wanted it fast.
Yeah.
But the thing is that while you're in prison, they make you go to work every day. Why can't they make you go to school? Why can't they make you get a trade? Why can't they? They have all the trades there for you. And they say it's here. You, if you want them, all you have to do is take them. But people with a third grade mentality, they're not going to take it.
But it's kind, you know, it's kind of like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. With these people, if they were forced to go to trade school or to go to school, do you think they would be willing to learn?
I think they would. They wouldn't have a choice. When trust me, school.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in penitentiary, you don't have a choice. They yeah. own you. They own you. They make you go to work. And when just recently, I attempted to open up a lawn service because I wanted to help some of the ex-cons, because an ex-con has the best work ethics that you can find. He has been going to work every day, on time, never missing. For 10, 15, 20 years, never calling in sick. But when he come out, he has these good work ethics, but he's not trained to do anything that he can use out here on the street.
Kerry, that's because, really a very, very interesting thought. And, you know, I love hearing stories like this. And it's just it's so great that we can use this talk show to allow people like yourself to change the image of ex-cons, because all ex-cons are not the same.
All ex-cons are not the same. And the opportunities, to me, the greatest opportunity in the world is for the state to implement something that says, I'm not going to let you leave me the way you came.
That is really a great thought, Kerry. I appreciate the call, and we all appreciate your attitude and your contribution. It was on this day, sad day on our pop culture calendar, on this day, September the 12th, 2003, Johnny Cash died of complications from diabetes in Nashville. Johnny was 71. So many rock stars and pop stars have so much respect for Johnny Cash. He's not just a country singer. He is a legend. I'm Scooch. We're coming back. This is WWL. Okay, so we are taking a look at Invest 95. This is a weather system that is heading toward the east. I'm sorry, it's heading toward the west. Is it going to get into the Gulf of Mexico? Well, now it looks like it might not. So this may be another break for us. But look, at some point, storms get into the Gulf of Mexico. At some point, storms threaten us. And it's not every year, thank God. But when they do threaten us, what is the one thing that you are concerned about? Well, not the one thing, but one of the things that you're concerned about is losing power. Because in many cases, everything's fine with your home, except you've just lost power. You could have a home with a standby generator. This is not just some portable generator that you wheel into the garage. And look, you've got to hook those things up properly, or there are tremendous health and just physical risks with those if you don't hook them up right. The standby generator becomes part of your house. Mayhew's AC and Generators has been in this area for a very long time, and they are the top distributor in this region for the Kohler generator. This is an all-American-made product that is bringing an affordable standby generator to homes and to small businesses. They take care of the paperwork, the permits, they do it all. They will come talk to you about how this can become part of your home. Now, we also know that sometimes there's an afternoon thunderstorm that will knock out power. Sometimes a drunk person hits a pole and the power goes out. Sometimes there is just incompetence that leads to the power going out. So the power goes out. You can't control that. But you can control having a home that never loses power. Here's how you can contact Mayhew's AC and Generators. 504-522-1640. That's 522-1640. The website is Mayhew, MAYEUXAC.com. Yeah, sometimes people just need a second chance because, come on, we all make mistakes and some of us end up in prison. All right, we're going to continue this conversation into the next hour. And by the way, I just found out I have another pair of tickets to give away to the LSU-Northwestern game Saturday night at Tiger Stadium. So keep listening for your chance to win on WFUL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.